All right, how you guys doing? Second chance at this. Last one, my audio wasn't working for some reason. But this is the spelling of the deception. Something tells me this is more than a coincidence. All right, now, as you can see, the theme is lightning. Something happened yesterday. So first, let's look to Scripture. What does Scripture say about lightning? Let's see what it says. It's Isaiah 10, or Luke 10, excuse me. 16, we'll start. Whoops, come on. He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. And the 70 turned with joy, or and the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Master, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw light, or I saw Satan falling out of heaven as lightning. See, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And none at all shall hurt you. But do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names have been written in the heavens." Hallelujah. In that hour, Yahushua exulted in the spirit and said, "I praise you, Father, Master of the heaven and of the earth, that you have hidden these matters from clever and learned ones and did reveal them to babes, yea, Father, because this it was well pleasing in your sight." Okay. So let's see what tribal myths say about lightning. This is Rwanda. There are various myths connected to lightning among the Rwandans. Some beliefs connect lightning with witchcraft. Inkumba, Itnagra, Amzai, I think. I could be mispronouncing that. I probably slaughtered that. I apologize for any Rwandans that may be watching this, which loosely re means dry lightning. This lightning strikes even when there's no rain, right? Centuries ago, Gabukwe Inukumbina, or Nukumba, whatever, Inukumba, to be struck by lightning was considered a curse, and many feared it. Once again, I apologize for slaughtering this tongue, but it's not familiar to me. A 75-year-old historian said some Rwandans believed or still believes that lightning is an animal that looks like a rooster and that has the power to kill. Rwandans were frightened by lightning. They never called it by its name, Inkumba, but rather Mwami Wohajiri, Hajuri, king from above. That's what it means, I guess. Apologize for slaughtering that tongue, but it's unfamiliar to me. Lest they infuriate it while it's raining, or while it was raining, they would remain standing in houses and could not sit since the seat was reserved for the king. You cannot sit when the king is present, and that was considered disrespectful for him. So, pretty interesting, huh? Acts of God, why lightning strikes religious symbols, right? Lightning Safety Week, a public awareness campaign from the National Weather Service, ended a few days ago. This goal was to educate the public about the dangers of lightning. And that point was driven home earlier this month when a six-story statue of Jesus north of Cincinnati was struck by lightning. The statue was depicting, which depicted Jesus raising his hands to heaven in prayer, so to say, was burned to a crisp, leaving nothing but charred metal and blackened foam debris. The lightning strike made national news because of its inherent irony, but it was hardly the first time that Jesus was hit by a bolt from the blue. The most famous statue of Jesus is Brazil's 130-foot Christ the Redeemer figure atop Rio de Janeiro's Sugarloaf Mountain. It has been struck by lightning several times, most recently in 2008 from a bolt, or when a bolt from the heavens struck Jesus's face and fingers. So, hey, thanks, Karen. Thanks for letting me know that the sound's working. I appreciate you. Says here, lightning has long been associated with the gods with the little g. Greek mythology shows lightning was the chief weapon of Zeus, king of the gods with a little g. Zeus was often depicted with lightning bolts in his hands, ready to strike down people and buildings that displeased him. It's kind of funny that they would capitalize the G here, so you can tell that this life science and who they worship, huh? Some modern religious leaders believe that acts of God, a legal, non-theological term, are divine retribution for mankind's wickedness and immorality. I happen to agree with him. For example, Reverend Pat Robertson famously stated that the earthquake that devastated Haiti in January of this year was God's vengeance on the wicked people of that land, or of the island. He also said that Hurricane Katrina was brought about by God's displeasure with American abortion laws. And when was this? 2010. Okay. You guys have been asleep for 11 years now. Wake up. Here's some interesting things I found out about the Passion of the Christ that I'm pretty sure some may know, but they chalked it off to, It's very interesting, right? This whole thing depicting Christ and the crucifixion, killing of him, by Mel Gibson's biblical drama, The Passion of the Christ, right? Jim Caviezel, White Jesus. And all those other statues were statues of a white Jesus. Lead actor Jim Caviezel has claimed he was lit up like a Christmas tree while filming the Sermon on the Mount sequence of the film. I knew it was going to hit me about 4 seconds before it happened, the actor told the 700 Club. I thought, I'm going to get hit. And when it happened, I saw the extras grab the ground. I wonder why he thought he was going to get hit. Anyways. Caviezel said after the strike, fire was coming out of his head and his body was illuminated. A likely story. Though the cameras hadn't yet finished panning over to his position. By the time the cameras got to me, Caviezel recalled, I hear Mel screaming out, what the heck happened to his hair? I look like I went to see Don King's hairstylist. Now, who's Don King? Well, I'll show you who Don King is. He was the promoter of Mike Tyson. Images. Yeah. See? The hair sticking straight up like that. Very stylish, huh? Very stylish. Sticking straight up. Yeah. Anyways, let's get back to this. Caviezel wasn't the only person on the set of The Passion to get struck by lightning. 5 minutes after I got hit, Caviezel explained, John Mulaney, an assistant, walked over and says, "Are you okay?" And then he got hit. The difference was, is they saw the bolt come down and hit John. All I felt was this giant, tremendous slap on the back of my ears. And for a few seconds, a pink and red static in front of my eyes. And apparently he that this assistant had been struck before. Seems like you're struck down by lightning to stop doing what you're doing, but you continue to do what you're doing. Whatever. So let's get to recent news and why I'm talking about lightning. George mural destroyed after lightning strikes in Ohio. Let's see what is going on here.
It's something that catches your eye. It's something that just reminds you of this is the north end of Toledo.
Tremaine Mitchell runs by this part of Summit Street at the intersection of LaGrange all the time. When he gets here, he knows he's home. But instead of this catching his eye Tuesday, it was this. The George Floyd mural, painted on the side of the old Mugshots bar, crumbled into a pile of broken bricks.
Right before that storm hit, I just pulled in my driveway, and it wasn't down. I would have noticed it right away. I noticed it when they put it up. I would have noticed it when it came down.
A witness told Toledo firefighters they saw a lightning strike hit the building. A city inspector says there are no concerns about the structure as a whole. The building part is fine, but it's the outer layer of brick that now has to come down.
It was beautiful, actually, when it was up. I hope they redo it.
Right now, it sounds like that's the plan. A City of Toledo spokesperson says they're going to work with the Arts Commission to build a new mural there or find it a new home. The artist, David Ross, finished it in July 2020. Since then, it's been a site where people have gathered for memorials to remember George Floyd. Now those moments here will have to also include the memories of the mural.
It's going to be a tough one to kind of walk by now and not see the mural that reminds us where we are and just how far we came as a country.
Come on, I wanted to hear what he was saying. How come you cut it off? Oh, man.
It is so...
Nope, nobody's going to go to your educational programming. Sorry. And then, that was Yahoo News. This is New York Post. And we already know what's going on with the New York Post, don't we? Right. They report a mural of George Floyd collapsed in Ohio, but there were conflicting accounts about whether the cause was a lightning strike or structural issues. Well, that Yahoo News story just said that the building inspector said there's no structural damage, no worry about structural issues. The building's sound is just the facade of outer bricks that was damaged. So that means a lightning strike. Do you hear that? A lightning strike because of the idolatry. Let's see what this does. Thank you. So, moral of the story is, we were commanded to do something, right? Oh, come on. Sorry about that, guys. But we were commanded to do something, right? What was that that we were commanded to do? From Messiah's own mouth, from his own lips. By the way, just in case you were wondering, J is a new letter. There is no J in Greek. There is no J in Hebrew, either ancient or modern. Scripture itself was written in Greek and Hebrew, also Aramaic. Kind of makes you wonder why those statues of a white Jesus were struck by lightning. Oh, well, science. Well, we already know about science, don't we, guys and gals? So, about that command, right? Well, let's see what Yahushua himself said. All has been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and he whom the Son wishes to reveal him. And turning to his taught ones, he said separately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I say to you that many prophets and sovereigns have wished to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it." And see, a certain one learned in the Torah stood up, trying him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit everlasting life?" And he said to him, "What has been written in the, what? Torah. How do you read it?" Learned one answered, saying, or the taught one answered, saying, "And you shall love Yahuwah your Elohim with all your heart and with all your being and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you shall live." But he, wishing to declare himself righteous, said to Yahushua, "And who is my neighbor?" And replying, Yahushua said, "A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jethro and fell among robbers, who both stripping and beating him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by a coincidence, a certain priest was going down that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and seen, passed on the other side. But a certain Shermanite, journeying, came upon him, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. and having placed him in his own breast, and having placed him on his own beast, he brought him to an inn and looked after him. And going out on the next day, he took 2 pieces of silver, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Look after him, and whatever more you spend, I shall repay you when I return." Who then of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the robbers? And he said, "He who showed compassion on him." And Yahushua said to him, "Go and do likewise." Command, go and do likewise. Precept. But the whole thing's about the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So, I mean, let's look at this again. The one learned in the Torah stood up, trying him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit everlasting life?" He said to him, "What has been written in the Torah? How do you read it?" All right, this is the test of the law of the Torah. And he said, not Jesus, not Yahushua. This is the learned one, the legalist, the Pharisee. And he answered, "You shall love Yahuwah, your Elohim, with all your heart, and with all your being, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Why is it such a big deal, guys? How do you love Elohim? How do you show that you love Yahuwah? By keeping his precepts and commandments. It's that simple. So, the question I have is when it comes down here to where he says, "Go and do likewise." Is that a new commandment? Or the same precept, the same statute? The feeling is the same statute. The whole of the law is to go and do good. Go and do likewise. Go and take care of your fellow neighbor. You see somebody homeless on the street. Yeah, they might be sweaty. Yeah, they might be dirty. Yeah, they might be stinky. Put yourself in that situation. Would you want somebody looking upon you with disgust? You're human. You're mankind just like they are. This whole idiom of, oh, if they're homeless, they must be crazy. That came about when the mental asylums were shut down, right? Those mental asylums were shut down. And they kicked those people onto the streets. They had nowhere to go, no plan for them to go, didn't set up a halfway house or anything. Boom, on the streets. They were homeless. They could not function in society. That's why they were placed into those asylums. So there was a stigma about it. Other countries besides the United States take care of their homeless. Only a few things here, a few entities will actually do that. A few churches will actually do that and have missions to get the homeless off the street, but they can't go there every day. And in the mission, they get food. They can take a shower. I don't know if they can do laundry. But wouldn't it be better to give these people employment so they can better themselves? Instead of a mission, put them to work, scrubbing graffiti or whatever. Graffiti is horrible. It's everywhere. You got murals that was just struck by lightning from Elohim. Surely these homeless could scrape the paint off those bricks. Or scrape the paint off the street in New York. But Josh, don't you know that's racist? We are only one race. Mankind. I mean, all right, let's do this real quick. John 3:16, 3:15. So whoever is believing in him should not perish, but possess everlasting life. For Elohim so loved the world that he gave his only brought forth son, so that everyone who believed in him should not perish, but possess everlasting life. For Elohim did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world through him may be saved. He who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe is judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only brought forth son of Elohim. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, for their works are wicked. For everyone who is practicing evil matters hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But the one doing the truth to the light, so that his works are clearly seen, that they have been wrought in Elohim. After this, Yahushua and his taught ones came to the land of Yehuda, and he remained there with them and was intermissing. Now, it doesn't matter if you know him by Jesus or Yahushua, but know that his name was Yahushua because there was no J in the languages that were spoken when he was around. And with that, may Yahuwah keep you and bless you. May he shine his countenance upon you, and may his face shine upon you. Amen and shalom.